Report, Mr. Commissioner.
Thank you. We have some really, and you've read about it, obviously, some really good news, and it's a good trip. And we feel very positive as a state. We're making a difference in this area. Judy Martinez, who oversees that area, and Judy, thank you for the effort. We're going to try to limit the report now to 2 minutes.
I'll just hold these.
But if you could keep it brief at the time, we'd appreciate it. But there is a lot that's been going on through her leadership and her staff. Very much appreciate that. So, Rebecca, Judy.
Sure, Mr. Chair. So thank you. We're going to take a transition from the youngest students in our system to the oldest students in our system. And I would point your attention to something you've probably already seen, which is the two infographics that our division and Judy's department in particular have produced. When we talk about the dropout and graduation rate, it's always in terms of percentages, and those can, I think, can distract us from the numbers of students that we're talking about. So the infographics hopefully are not just pretty and easy to read, but also serve a purpose of grounding us in what Commissioner Hammond said is really encouraging trend data over the last 5 years, and this report was our sort of discussion with you about the 2013 dropout and graduation data. While it is certainly encouraging, this is not a set of numbers where we want to rest on laurels. There's still a great amount of work to be done. And what Judy and I have chosen to do with this presentation today is to focus you back on some of the basics. The calculations in these numbers are not as simple as they might seem at first, and we felt like the most important thing we could do with a short amount of time today would be to ground you all in the nuances of these calculations so that as the state does have a moment of celebration about the encouraging data, we can also be grounded in what these numbers really mean. So that'll be the focus of the next few minutes.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Please proceed. We hate to cut you short because this is an important topic and it does deserve commendation. So we will give you robust attention when you proceed.
Well, much appreciated. And I think we have some pretty good handouts. And thank you very much for the opportunity. Today, really one of our commitments over time is to make sure that there's better information that's available. So when people do have the time or they want to dig in, they have infographics, they have a robust website to go to look at the maps. But in terms of just grounding our discussion, just wanted to acknowledge the protective factors in terms of the benefits of graduation, as well as the negative consequences when students do not graduate from school and drop out. So you have that information in your packet. And then getting to Rebecca's point where we wanted to really focus. So we're going to just take a little snapshot to acknowledge and celebrate for a moment the progress that's being made. We did see for the third year in a row a 1.5 percentage point increase in the graduation rate, and we're sitting at a graduation rate right now of 76.9%. When we add to the graduation rate with the number of completers, those that generally have received their GED, completed that, the completion rate goes up to 79.6%, which is higher than it was last year. And then when we look at dropout, we've seen a seven-year consecutive decline in the dropout rate that we're sitting at 2.5% now. So what does that mean? So that digging in, we're going to look at the rates and what they have in common and where their areas of difference are. So when we talk about the graduation rate and the completion rate, what they have in common is the time period. You're usually talking about a cohort, a class, if you will. So my niece came into is a freshman this year, and she'll be graduating with a class of 2017. knocking on wood. She is part of the cohort of the class of 2017. So whether she graduates in 4 years, 5 years, or 6 years, she's always part of that class of. So the graduation and completion rate are based on that group rate. The numerator of the students obviously differs, but the denominator stays the same for the graduation and the completion rate. Now when we look at the dropout rate, we're really talking about a whole different group of students. The dropout rate is an annual rate. It's for the 7th to 12th graders who are in the denominator. Okay. Are there any questions on this point before we move on? Okay. So we're going to take even a closer look in terms of what the drop in the dropout rate translates to. What does it really mean? So in this particular slide, you'll see a trend in terms of this decline of the dropout rate. I will note that in 2009-10, you saw a pretty significant decline. And I just might mention that was the year that the Office of Dropout Prevention and Student Engagement started. Just want to make that note. And what those declines mean is that if the rate had stayed the same as it was in 2007-08 at 3.8%, if there had been no gains over time, that if nothing had changed, we would have seen an additional 15,000 students drop out. But instead, those students are continuing with their education. So it really does make a difference when you're talking about the numbers. Right, but we're going to next move to the class of 2013. This is probably the area that there's the most confusion in terms of the public. When we look at the graduation rate of 76.9%, folks go to that the rest of the students dropped out. So this particular graphic is intended to really help in creating a more common understanding of what happens to the students that don't graduate with their cohort group, with their class. So there was roughly close to 61,000 students who were in the membership base for the class of 2013. And of those, we're celebrating that close to 76,000 graduated with their class for that increase of 1.5 percentage point over 2011-12 of the graduation rate for this year. So that means that there was about 14,000 students that didn't graduate with their class that were to graduate in 2013. So naturally the question is, where are they? Well, not all of these students dropped out. Actually, if you look at this particular graphic, if we look at the edges, there's a lot of evidence that the majority of these students who didn't graduate with their class are still on a path in terms of post-secondary and workforce readiness. We see a fair number of GED completers, because you may recall GED completers are never considered a graduate, but they're also never considered a dropout either. But they're in a unique category. And then we see that there's close to 6,500 students of those who didn't graduate with their class who are still in school and were really wanting to focus that they persist and get a diploma, whether it takes them 5 years, 6 years, or 7 years. Then we look in terms of the number of students that did drop out. And that's the area that we're really focusing our efforts in this year and in the coming years to really put in place a more robust system to recover those that have dropped out and didn't complete with their class. And that's roughly 8%. Then you see in the middle there's some challenges in terms of students who transferred to get their GED but still haven't completed it, and those that may be involved with the juvenile justice system or getting services at transferring to a facility school. This particular graphic is something that gives you additional information in terms of what happens with the students. So we looked at the class of 2013. We still have around 14,000 students that didn't graduate with the class, and we have a good percent that we're wanting to support and re-engage. Well, is that worth it? Is it a cost-effective proposition? Well, the data suggests yes. In your infographic, you have this information for the class of 2011, but here in this slide, it's for the class of 2010. And why we did that is for the class of 2010 is the first time that we have the 7-year graduation rate. So when we look at those students that graduated as well as those that received their GED, given 7 years for the class of 2010, we came to a completion rate of 85%. So that gives you a picture of why it's important for us to continue to track this information. And then in respect to the limited time, I just want to call attention that we do not collect from the districts information on why students dropout, but we do have good data from the GED test takers. They take a survey and they tell us the reasons that they didn't complete school. And the areas generally fall in around academic environment, family issues, social issues, and some student performance issues. You'll see that this information actually helped guide some of our interventions and focus in terms of focusing on why is it that students aren't completing school? What is it that they need? So with that, as well as hearing from districts and also learning what works, a framework of improvement was created for this presentation, because the question is, well, this looks good. Why are the improvements occurring? What's happening? And I think that this gives you just a really good summary and snapshot that most of the efforts that are happening that are contributing to some of the success are falling in the area of dropout prevention, engagement, interventions, and service and support. Services and support are those programs and training and professional development that are provided by the Department of Education, which would include some of our grant programs, such as the Expelled and At-Risk program, the Colorado School Counselor Corps program. There's some interventions that we're looking at systemically. Some of you are very familiar with the RTI process and the individual career academic plans, the ICAP process, as well as some transitioning for especially the special education and English learner population. The engagement piece is those learning supports that involve looking at school climate and bullying prevention type of activities, as well as strengthening family, school, and community partnerships, which as a department, that work has only been elevated with the hiring of our family partnering director. And then in terms of dropout prevention, which really brings us back to where we started with this discussion, looking at the data. And we know that what gets measured gets watched. And I don't think that there's any accident that we've put in place more focus in terms of how the students are performing in their performance framework. The area of post-secondary and workforce readiness has an additional measure that includes dropout rate. So we have the graduation rate, the dropout rate, and the ACT. And with that additional information, there's some argument that that has contributed to some of the focus and improvements. So with that, any questions?
Questions, comments, Angelica?
Just a couple questions. We have a program that's essentially a 5-year high school program where kids are also taking courses in higher education. How are those kids measured? Are they on the 5-year plan, or are they graduates with their cohort?
Well, the Ascent students that are the 5-year students, is it the Ascent program? Mm-hmm. There's different portfolios of services that a student would graduate in 5 years, and they are counted in the 5-year cohort.
Okay.
They're not counted with in their 4-year cohort.
So I'm actually, my inclination and comment, if you would, is that we actually probably have, well, we've got GEDs in there, but I'm not troubled by the 5-year rate and the 6-year rate and the 7-year rate. We argue that we're a standards-based system anyway, and we want kids to get to a certain level, and if that takes them 7 years, that's tough on our budget, but not as tough as having them not graduate at all. So it seems to me that the focus really ought to be on the completers, no matter how long it takes them. Am I wrong, or?
Mr. Chair.
I think in general, the department and the expertise in Judy's office would agree with you. We're pleased that because this is the first year, we can see even the 7-year rate of 2010, and what we see is that when given that amount of time, students take advantage of that time to work toward completion, and schools who are providing supports that allow students to stay engaged for those 3 additional years, the data for the first time this year shows that even through the 7th year, that does yield results.
Okay, so that pleases me. Then I know I've said this before, but do we have the capacity to track kids who don't get a GED, who don't graduate, but matriculate in college? because there are such kids. Some of them, I mean, one of them went to Harvard years ago. Yeah. She never finished. She just left at the end of her junior year, was accepted by Harvard, and said, see ya. Mm-hmm. But I don't know whether we have any... What? Yeah, she's a gifted kid. And,
Ms. Richard?
But kids that don't finish and then do go into the junior college, I think there are numbers that might even come to a few percent. But I don't know if we can track them.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, we do have some data sharing agreements with Colorado colleges. Mm-hmm. So in that case, we can track some of the students with their SACEDs. Over time, and we're trying to get better about that. So I would say that the short answer is no, or on a limited basis, but that there is promise of having more information for the students that attend. So in the example that you gave about a student going to Harvard and leaving,
that you can't.
No, that would not
be. At this point,
be.
You can't. I mean, there's a national is Warehouse the right name? National Data Clearinghouse of data. So ultimately, we may get to that. But even if we get to the kids who just choose, if they're accepted at a junior college or at one of our colleges, to just get on with it and don't feel the need, if they're going for an associate degree or a diploma, they don't feel the need to go through these last steps.
Right, and we also track the GED, the students that end up getting their GED, even if they've disappeared for a few years as well.
That's great. Thank you.
Questions? Jane?
Just a quick comment. Another, I don't know, I wouldn't call it an advancement, but another set of information, some data that we do have available is how to track income, the income potential, the tax, a community tax base potential, just based on the number of high school graduates and continuing ed. And we're getting more. I'm disappointed because the Education Leadership Council meeting has been postponed, but there was an intention to have a session on what there was legislation a couple years ago that tied the workforce and workforce development and jobs status tied in with degrees earned and kind of a prognosis about that. So that's in the way. Our state is on the way toward that. I'm looking forward to that. But I know you all can keep up with it, but every year that's updated about it. Just even our metro area, if this many more numbers of kids had graduated from high school, here's the potential down the road of what that does to create economic strength and growth. So it's real interesting.
Yes, Mr. Chair. There is information from the Alliance of Education Excellence, and they put out an annual report in that way. And the information that we have in the packet today is that a student that drops out over the course of their lifetime will end up costing society over $300,000. Mm-hmm. So we had given it in terms of that deficit look, but that the benefits when students do go on, it's on the
It's part of this.
The third slide. But that information is available, and we're happy to get that for you if you'd like.
Do we have the recent one? Is it as recent as 2013?
You know, I haven't, Mr. Chair, I haven't looked at I've gone to the website for the Alliance for Education Excellence, but I will check.
So will I.
Thank you. Good
we'll
question.
Do it together. Thank you.
Dr. Scheffel?
Thanks for the presentation. I just had a question about, I had read something recently that suggested that a substantial portion of those that drop out are actually gifted and talented kids, and it kind of alludes to Dr. Schroeder's comment. Is there any sense of that in these numbers? I see the ethnicities, but in terms of kind of related to why, well, if they're bored, I mean, do you have a sense of GT students that are part of this?
Mr. Chair. Yes, actually, the director of Gifted and Talented, Jacqueline Medina, we are working with her on a report, and she looked at it, and she had that same look because the rate of students who drop out who are GT is fairly low, but she felt like there was a hidden population of maybe even as high as 10% that might be contributing to some of the dropout.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? I'm just curious about the distribution of the infographics available on the web.
Yes.
pushed through the communications department. Cool. Thanks for the presentation.
Thank you.
Ms. Markle, would you announce an executive session, please?
An executive session of the notice for today's state board meeting in conformance with 24-6 for a 23A CRA to receive legal advice and specific legal questions pursuant to 24-6 for a 23A CRS and matters required to be kept confidential under federal law or rules or state statutes pursuant to 24-6 for a 23A CRS.
Do I have a motion to convene an executive session? Moved and a second.
Second.
No objection. We'll move into executive session. Thank you.